Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. I invite you to read along in a pew Bible or on your device, like some people caught me doing last week, or simply listening as I read. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And then down to verse 41. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The word of the Lord.
If you would pray with me. Living Word, we come to you this morning asking for eyes to see and ears to hear what you would say to us today. Amen. This is the final installment of our journey of bread. Feels good to finally get to the end of something. We started with the parable of borrowing bread at midnight, committing to persistently ask God for what we need by praying without giving up. Then last week, we saw how Jesus tested Philip by asking him where to buy bread for all the people. And what was impossible for the disciples was not impossible for Jesus. He multiplied the bread, fed it to the people, and they saw it as a sign for who he was. And embedded in the feeding of the crowd was a callback to Exodus that will continue on today in today's text. So in this, our third installment, the second story from John 6, I ask you to think about this. What is your favorite kind of bread? There's so many good kinds of bread, right? You got the basic standard in your freezer, garlic bread. And then a little bit above that, you've got Wonder, that great classic that goes with PB&J. And then a more modern, at least in Ohio, Hawaiian sweet rolls. Our family's very into the Hawaiian sweet roll. And you've got crusty wheat bread. You've got multi-grain with all the seeds and the nuts. And how about this one? Picture it. An Italian baguette with oil for dipping, in a cafe in Tuscany. My imagination is getting carried away. So what kind of bread draws you in? I feel drawn to warm bread with melting butter and a nice chewy crust. So I'm thinking about, is that gonna be the kind of bread that they had on the mountainside picnic? It probably was not so fancy. But then I started to wonder, first century Palestine, they may have some ancient baking secrets that have been lost over time. When we last left off, Jesus had multiplied the bread. The crowd saw it as a sign. He withdrew into solitude. And then later in the evening, he met up with his disciples, walking out to them in their boat on the water. Eventually, the crowd discovered Jesus and his disciples on the other side of the lake, and they said, "When did you get here?" which prompts a whole discussion because they seek him out. Is it more for signs and wonders, or is it because they've come to believe? Basically, are you seeking more food, or are you seeking the Savior? It's a pointed question, and it causes them to grumble. And let's face it, people are going to grumble. Are you prone to reacting negatively when the unexpected comes? Think about that question. You aren't the only ones. Remember who else got attention because of their grumbling? The Israelites in the wilderness. They grumbled for water. They grumbled about the food. They grumbled about waiting for Moses to come down from the mountain. So many stories of complaining about their condition, complaining to Moses, which really, in a sense, is complaining to God, who was the author of their rescue. This gospel story clearly harkens back to Moses. It's the modern first century crowd that draws Jesus, drawn by Jesus, up on the mountainside. Think of how it's like an imagery. They're hungry. They get fed. And now they're grumbling. We're not comfortable with your claims, they say. But Jesus is showing himself as a new and better Moses. And in just one day, away from home, the people begin to act like Israel. They're saying, "Always give us this bread," to which Jesus responds, "I am the bread of life." And they grumble and they complain that he said that, to which Jesus says, "Stop grumbling." Can you relate? I wonder what things in your life give you reason to complain. Perhaps it's your job, bosses, or coworkers. Maybe it's your family. The kids are driving you crazy. Your parents, your siblings. Maybe your spouse is messy. That can be a problem. Physical pains also cause us to complain, right? Back ache, knee ache, shoulder ache. You just don't feel good. And maybe just in general, people tend to get on your nerves. Jesus comes as this incredible gift. I am the bread of life that sustains you, nourishes you, satisfies you. But isn't this Joseph's son, you say? I found myself complaining this week, truth be told. It's a week when the sermon text is on what it's on, so common sense would say, just don't complain. And that's a little bit of the point, isn't it? The people are fed. Jesus, the Son of God, is with them. And the text says that they are living in the fulfillment of what the prophets had said, that they shall be taught by God. But we know his mother. I found myself complaining this week. It was Tuesday, just like last week. It was Tuesday, and the air conditioner in the Christian Ed office was not working. Not a problem. I bailed out to the pastor's office. I stopped the work and I moved my monitor and my keyboard and the mouse and all the stuff, after which I thought, this is a nice office. Two big windows, modern furniture. I mean, it's actually the corner office overlooking uptown. But then my computer was having trouble connecting to the Wi-Fi. A possible reason to complain. No problem. I know how to hotspot from my phone, and at least I have air conditioning. Then I retrieve some lunch from uptown, because you might hear this again. This might be my new shtick. Because I'm an uptown girl. Cue Billy Joel. I ate my lunch while working at my new big fancy desk in the air condition, enjoying the lunch until company arrived. Little ants, like more than a dozen, walking on my papers, trying to steal my food. It was weird. And the ant problem continued. The next day, I reached for my lunchbox on the floor, and there on the lid, it was covered, and I mean covered, with itty-bitty tiny little ants. How can he now say, "I have come down from heaven"? The effect of change is great. This month, I began working in an historic uptown church where I have been warmly received by people who want to partner with me in discovering what God has in this season. And I have ants and spotty Wi-Fi and a sanctuary without air conditioning on the hottest week of the year. And now I am complaining like the crowd. Isn't this Joseph's son? The problem is not so much the complaining as it is missing what God is doing. The crowd is missing the point of who they are seeking to find. He has told them who he is. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not be hungry. Bread sustains our lives. Without it, life can't go on. Jesus is offering himself as something more than mere physical existence. Jesus is offering us a new spiritual life, a real relationship with God, marked by trust and obedience and love, made possible through Jesus. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread I will give for the life of this world is my flesh. Theologian William Barclay puts it this way, and I really like this quote. The hunger of the human situation is ended when we know Christ and through him know God. The restless soul is at rest. The hungry heart is satisfied. A day after Jesus satisfied the physical hunger of the crowd, he is offering to feed them their spiritual hunger as well. Often our ears hear these words and we think of it as an assurance of life after death. While it's true, it's woefully less than what is being offered. Jesus is offering new life here and now. Jesus explains in verse 44, no one comes unless drawn by the Father who sent us. And then in the reverse, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. There is a spiritual pathway hidden in this passage. First, the crowd sees Jesus, and having seen him, they follow him. And finding him on the far side of the lake, he is now offering an invitation. Believe me, accept me, and receive heavenly bread. And it's an open offer. We too are invited with the crowd to partake in bread from heaven, opening the way for God to claim final authority over our lives. Our lives given to Jesus begin to be molded and shaped by him. And we change from merely existing to vibrant life in the Spirit. It's an invitation to everyone. The bread of ours is free for the taking. You might be drawn to hot garlic bread. You might be drawn to fresh baked French bread. Jesus is saying, come to me. I'm the bread of life from heaven. With Jesus, nothing is impossible. We've seen the signs, the longings of our heart, the searching of our souls are satisfied in Jesus. And behind the whole process is God, awakening our desires, drawing us to himself, working in us to uproot the rebellion and pride that hinder us from accepting Christ's offer. Heavenly bread satisfies. Jesus, the bread of life, offers us new life, available today, hunger satisfied, thirst quenched it. Our human heart finds what it is searching for, and our lives tilt towards adventure and peace. This offer includes eternal life, for sure. Life beyond this life. And we are safe, even on the last day, when all the things end, we are still secure. As the old writer said, Christ brings us to the haven beyond which there is no danger. the offer of Christ is life in our time and life in eternity. And it's a hard invitation to turn down. Jesus, who's multiplied the bread and declared himself to be bread, will soon repeat this pattern. Soon, and very soon, he will host a Passover meal in an upper room. Surrounded by his closest friends, Jesus will offer bread, saying, "This is my body given for you." And then the very next day, he will walk it out, his body on a cross, reconciling the world to God in hope and resurrection. This is what Jesus is like. This is what God is like. Powerful enough to overthrow powers of evil, yet a suffering servant, establishing an invisible kingdom, emanating from the cross where love is expressed in forgiveness that results in resurrection and hope for the world. And it's a connected story. We're seeing the connection, the thread, Exodus manna, feeding the 5,000, bread of life, the Last Supper, Good Friday, Sunday resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life, declares Christ. God is reconciling his people to himself forever. But we know his mother. Why are they complaining? Why? Like, really, why? Jesus was proclaiming himself to be something that they could not imagine. They saw him as the carpenter's son, the hometown kid. They couldn't fathom that God, the creator of all that is and all that will be, came to earth as a baby. They lack curiosity. They could not stay out of judgment. And when we don't understand, we complain. And when we don't see the bigger picture, we complain. And when we experience rapid change, we complain. I got to tell you, it's not going to go smooth. Ants will show up at our picnic. Wi-Fi may drop. The air conditioner will certainly break. Yet God dwells with his people. God provides manna in the wilderness. God's saving grace forever changes our life on earth and in the life to come. May we resist the pull of atrophy. Change will require us to adapt, to be flexible, to give up our natural fixed mindset, because growth is good. Healthy things grow, be it a plant or a child or a tadpole. And life as a tadpole seems good until you've had the experience of jumping on frog legs. Let's not miss what God is doing. Let's not question God, saying, "How can he now say I have come down from heaven?" Our God has not abandoned us. He does not forget. He is not distant and unconcerned with our complicated and uncomfortable life situations. He makes streams flow in the desert. He carves pathways in the wilderness. Surely he is with us as we walk through this season of change. Surely he is with you in your places of despair and disillusionment. The key will be for us to recognize and receive Christ in our midst. Amen.